Continue this series that we began a few weeks ago. We've had Mother's Day, we've had Rob Carman, but really the series is called Mastering Money or Money Matters or The Wheels of Financial Blessing, however you want to kind of wind it up. And I've had, there it is, Wheels of Financial Blessing. Haven't seen that one yet? That's quite cool, isn't it? There we go. I've had quite a lot of response from people who just said to me, this just makes sense. To me, it made sense to me. And the essential concept of this message is this. I've talked with many believers over the years who have struggled to see what the Bible says about God's desire in terms of us doing well financially, prospering, being able to pay our bills, live well, and be generous as people and enjoy God's blessing. I've seen numbers of people struggle. And so over the years, God's sort of given me this picture, and the picture is of a car and four tires. And the idea behind it is you can have one awesome tire. You can be really good at one part of this financial world, but if the other tires are flat, you will go as fast or as far in your finance as your slowest tire, okay, your flattest tire. So you can be extremely generous, but if you're not a wise steward, you'll end up in your finances going round and round in circle. It's not like there's one silver bullet that will unlock the blessing of God in your life. It's a number of things working side by side. Another picture, if you think of this as the old barrels that they used to have that were made out of pieces of wood. And you could have, like, you know, 12 really high pieces of wood around the outside, but if one's really low, the water's only going to go to the level of the lowest one and then it's going to leak out. Water can be pouring in, but that lowest issue is where your ceiling will be. And I've found for many people, and I'm just going to put these up here today, the four wheels of financial blessing, just to go back over this again, is this, and we've already talked about this, it's wise stewardship is the first wheel, no particular order. Wise stewardship. If you're not a good steward, you'll find that money will just slip through your hands. The one I'm going to talk about today is the right mindset. So you need to have a right mindset about how God sees and thinks about money. Then we're going to talk about a spirit of generosity. So generosity is another wheel. And then the last thing is a spirit of faith. And so over the next 3 weeks, I'm going to be talking specifically about these. The great thing about this concept or these principles that I'm talking is I feel I could preach this message in any country in the world to any people, no matter their financial circumstances, and this would help them align to the Word of God. A third world country or a first world country or anything in between, we would be unpacking what the Bible says that would help set people free in this area of our lives. And this is an important area of our life to speak into, because when we surveyed our church, and as I know in our society, money causes so much stress and problems and challenges in people's lives. So we need to get our heads around this and work on these areas. So my hope is that somewhere in this series, you'll get some keys that will help you align to God's way of thinking and acting in relation to your money. Does that make sense? All right, so today we're going to talk about a right mindset, about the way we think. All of us are brought up a certain way to think a certain way. It'll come from our family. It'll come from the way that we've seen things done over the years, from our experiences. It may come from our Christian upbringing, if you've been brought up in church, or a religious upbringing. And essentially, one of the big blockages that I've seen over the years is where people have got the wrong thoughts about finances and about money, the wrong thoughts. And the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. So when I'm talking about thoughts, I'm talking about strongholds or mindsets that are not just thoughts that come and go, but that are deep in our subconscious. They're deep in who we are. And so here's what I found. I can be praying one thing, but if I believe another thing in my heart, then it's like what I believe in my heart trumps any word of prayer that I say. If I think a certain way, so I might be going, God, I need you to bless me. I need you to bless me. But in my heart, if I think God doesn't really want to bless me, then what's in my heart, my thoughts, the stronghold, trumps the words of my mouth. It overcomes those words. words. So I've got to go to work on the things in my heart to be right and to line up with the word of God. Otherwise, my mindset will be my lowest common denominator in my finances. And I want us to go to Matthew chapter 19. Really, I'm going to talk today about two common mindsets that are wrong mindsets that you'll find anywhere in the world. Two common mindsets are the wrong mindsets. The first scripture is Jesus, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 21, says this: "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust and bank fees destroy." Didn't say that, that's just me. That was a joke. Okay, stay with me. Okay, "where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your money goes, where you put your money, tells me where your heart will go as well." And then he goes down to verse 24 and Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon," is the word he uses here. "You cannot serve God and mammon." Mammon is from the Aramaic and it means riches. And it's a god they used to worship back in the day. And the concept of it was that God would be the one who would provide wealth and money and riches for them. And over a period of time, Jesus identifies that you can't serve God and riches or the spirit of mammon. So today, the most predominant spiritual weight, the most predominant demonic force in the world that we live in the Western world, is the spirit of mammon. The spirit of mammon is a spirit. It's not money, but it's a spirit that gets on money, okay? We'll just turn to one other scripture here as I unpack this. 1 Timothy 6, 9 to 10 says, "Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money," not money itself, money is amoral. There's no problem with money. Money could be pretty handy. But the love or the worship or the focus on money and what it brings is a root, not the root, a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Okay, so we understand this. So there's literally a spirit in the world that we live in that will whisper to people, shout at people, get into people's thoughts. And once it's got into people's thoughts, it will create a stronghold or a mindset about money. And the mindset that it wants to create is that money, it wants to create the idea that money will replace God in your life. Money will give you the things that only God can really give you. And so it sells you a lie. And so the idea behind it is this: money, or the spirit of mammon, wants you to worship. And so if I use the word worship money, because the devil wants us, he wants us to worship him. He tempted Jesus and said, "If you bow down and worship me, I'll give you everything." This is what he wants. He wants you to bow down. So worship of money looks like this. It becomes the object of my affection, my focus, and my energy, and everything. The primary thing that I'm about is about the accumulation of money. It's the temptation. And so for example, I'm going to give a couple of indications that a person has been trapped by this spirit. Becoming a workaholic is an indication that the spirit of mammon has got strong in a person. Because I'm working and I'm driven and I'm focused to accumulate and get this money and get these possessions and have enough. And so I can't stop. I can't enjoy life. And I've become a workaholic because the spirit of mammon and a mindset that money is my primary thing will drive people. Money, it wants your worship. It wants to be your primary source of pleasure and fulfillment. The lie of this is that if you have stuff, then you'll be happy. So the lie goes like this: if only you have this possession, if only you live in this kind of place, if only you drive this thing, if only you wear these clothes, when you get those things, you'll be happy. And money seduces, that spirit of money seduces people to make them think that this is going to make me happy. I'm going to find my identity. The problem with it is it seduces people to live against their own standards, because then they'll go, well, it's so important and it's driving me that I'll do anything. I'll lie. Some people will steal, rip other people off. Most of the worlds in our world that we've got going on right now are all about money. The drive behind the war is to get that oil field. It's to get that thing. And so there's a spirit behind it saying that money will give you the pleasure that you so desire and that will make you fulfilled as a person. That's a spirit. It gets into our mind. What else does it do? That spirit also wants us to think that it will provide security and identity. If you've just got enough money, you'll be secure. Now, I get the need to put money aside for the future. I understand the need to be a wise steward in that sense. But this spirit will make you feel like, well, as long as you get financially wealthy and independent, then you can relax and sit back. Now, here's the idea. I'm into wise stewardship. We talked about that last time. But I don't actually want to be financially independent. I want to be completely dependent upon God. There's a lie that'll tell you, oh, you can be financially independent, you can look after yourself, you can meet your own needs, and I understand there can be a true concept in it, but actually, I want to spend my life being dependent upon God, because He's got the cattle on 1,000 hills. I don't want to separate and cut myself off from God, the source and the supply of everything that I need, but the spirit behind money tells you this, that when you wear that, drive this, live there, then you'll have made it, your identity, people will look at you. And so here's the signs of this in my life. The signs that I've got a mindset dominated by money go like this. The first one is fear. Just fear of never having enough. Fear of, you know, just a person who's got a mammon mindset, a spirit of mammon, lives under fear all the time, lives with a sense of anxiety about finances and worry and concern, and it dominates our mind. That's one of the things, and that's something that we can all face. What else does the spirit of mammon do? It leaves this thing where we're never satisfied. You get that new thing, you enjoy it for a couple of weeks, but then after that, the buzz of that's gone, and so you're driven for the next thing. That's the spirit of the world we live in. It's the next thing, and it's never satisfied. That's the spirit of mammon. What else is it? Okay, part of it is a spirit of pride that gets on us. It's like, oh yeah, I'm self-made. Look at me, I've got this stuff. Look at me. And that's the spirit of pride. Jesus talked about someone who had that, about a rich man. In Luke chapter 12, verse 15, he says, then he said, beware. Guard against every kind of greed. So some other words for the spirit of mammon is a greed focus. Or the Bible talks about don't be covetous. Don't desperately, jealously want what somebody else has got. A sign that I've got a spirit of mammon and a mammon mindset is that when someone gets something really nice, I'm jealous and I'm angry about it. I can't celebrate it because my identity, I want that. So greed. Life is not measured by how much you own, says Jesus. That's not the measure of my life or my maturity or my spirituality. Then he said, he told them a story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, what should I do? I don't have room for all my crops. The spirit of mammon's getting him proud. Then he said, I know. I'll tear down my barns. I'll build bigger ones. And then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, this is what the spirit of mammon will do to someone. The pride will kick in. My friend, I love it, talking to himself. My friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. You're financially independent now. You're safe and secure. You can relax. Now take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. And this is what Jesus said. But God said to him, you fool. You'll die this very night. Then who will get everything you worked for? Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. Money wants to take the place of God in your life so that it becomes your focus, your pleasure, your attention, your worship, you're consumed by it, you're secure in it, you're trusting in it, your identity's in it. All things that only God can give you. It's really quiet in here this morning, isn't it? All things that only God can give you. Only God can truly fulfill you in your heart. Only God can truly give you security. Only God can truly give us our identity. Only God can truly give us confidence about our future. I would rather have a relationship with God and His promises in the Bible than $1 million in the bank, because I've seen banks go bust and people lose $1 million. I've seen GFCs come and take people out who are so confident in their own ability and they were trusting in their money. I would rather have a rich relationship with God, who is the source of everything that I need. That's breaking the spirit of mammon. So you go, okay, well, how do I deal with it? If that's what's going on in me, if I've succumbed to that, if that's been in my family, if that's been in my thinking, there's two things. Really, the starting point, the powerful way to deal with this spirit of mammon. And the spirit of mammon, it screams at our ears. It screams at whenever we're talking about money in church, that spirit of this world screams in people's ears. They just want your money. No, I don't. I want you to get free from your money. I want you to break its power over you. I want you no longer to be a slave to it. I don't want it to master you. I want you to master it. You know, I find the media jump on this bandwagon, but they don't jump on, they don't go, oh, the Sunshine Plaza, all it wants is your money. Do they? You don't hear that. You don't hear, oh, Crown Casino, they're just out after your money. You don't hear that. But the spirit of mammon lets that all go. But what the spirit of mammon screams, oh, the church, they just want your money. It's a load of rubbish. Because, hey, the kingdom of, oh, anyway, I'm not going to go there. That's another hobby horse. Just another hobby horse. Okay, so how do I break the spirit of mammon in my life? How do I recognize that? Here's probably the most powerful thing you can do to start this, and it's the tithe. The tithe is a moment when your income comes in, when increase comes into your world. And it's just a statement every week, every fortnight, every month, whenever you pay your tithe, you're making a statement where you're going, I am not bowing down to the spirit of mammon. I'm not going to be anxious about money. My security is not in money. So you're making a statement saying, God, you're my master, you're my Lord, and I'm returning 10% to you because I'm breaking the power of this thing over my life. I'm going to get free from it. And bring that tithe in, and we break its power. The second thing, and I just love it, I would like everybody to have this whole kind of vibe going on. When I bring my tithe, just make these two kinds of statements. One, I just break the power of greed off my life. I break the power of mammon off my life. God, here's my tithe, and you've got my heart. You're number one. I am worshiping you. As I bring my tithe, it's a statement. I'm not living for money. I'm not serving money. I'm not worshiping money. I'm serving the living God. And so when I bring that tithe in, Father, all I have is yours. And here's my statement this week. I'm serving the living God. You've got my heart. That's the first part. And the tithe, the enemy hates it. He fights it. He'll wrestle in your mind over it. He'll give you all the excuses why you shouldn't. But that's the first thing. God, you've got my heart. And the second part of the tithe is this. God, you're my provider. My job's not my provider. My parents aren't my provider. Centrelink's not my provider. My investments are not my provider. My business is not my provider. God, you are my provider. That's why I bring my tithe to you. See, here's one of the names of God. You've got to understand the names of God. When Moses went to Pharaoh or talked to God, he said, who do I say is sending me? He said, tell him I am. He goes, okay, I am. And then if you go through the Bible, that whole name means Jehovah. You go through the Bible, there's all these names that God has that represents his identity. So there's Jehovah Rapha, I am the God who heals. There's numbers of these names that reflect God's identity and who he is. And one of them is the name Jehovah Jireh. And Jehovah Jireh is the name for God where it says, I am your provider. And so Jesus tells stories like this. He says, don't worry about money. Don't be anxious about money. He says, my Father, he looks after even the sparrows. He knows how many hairs you've got on your head. Not even one sparrow falls to the ground and he doesn't know about it. He's completely aware of all of your needs, and he is a good father. And if he's going to provide for the sparrows and you're his child, don't worry. He'll look after you. He's your provider. He's Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh, you know, if you understand this and you're like, because it's such a limiting thing to think money's your source. It's such a limiting thing to think that all of my security and my future is tied up in money. But if you get your concept that God's Jehovah Jireh, he can send manna. He can send you flipping Christmas dinner from heaven. He can bring quail from the sky. He can get ravens to bring food to your house. He can get water to come out of a rock. He can turn water into wine. He can multiply bread and he can multiply fish. He can get a coin to come out of a fish's mouth. He can get the biggest catch of fish your business has ever had in a moment. He can arrange a donkey for you when you need a donkey, in case you need a donkey, just letting you know. God's a provider. He's able to make stuff appear from nowhere because that's his very nature. So while you're holding on to your tithe and holding on into this security and fear about money, God's sitting over here going, give me a go. Give me a go. I want to be your provider. And you're over here going, no, I'm trusting money. Ooh, 10%. Ooh. And he's like, come on, come over to the light side. Get out of the dark side. I'll set you free. I want to be your provider. And so when you come and you bring your tithe, you put it in online, make sure you do it with faith. God, you've got my heart and you are my provider, and I refuse to be fearful. I refuse to be anxious. I refuse to be ruled by money, and I'm going to receive the blessing from you. Does that make sense this morning? All right. Just helping us out. The tithe. It begins to break the spirit of mammon off your life. Now, you know, you can, after a while, you can get so prosperous because you're doing things God's way. It's possible that can grip you again and you've got to start giving sacrificially and all sorts of things. Don't want to go there this morning. Just want to stay there. I'm puffed from preaching. My goodness. All right. So that's the spirit of mammon. That's the wrong mindset. That will mess so many people up and lock us up and get us all fearful and get us all edgy and all cranky. God wants to get out of that. Get free from that. Get into this place where the rhythm of grace and blessing. I've seen it so much in my life and so many people's lives when they begin to tithe, exactly what breaks open. Like I said, if I was talking to Africans who had chickens as their main source of income, I would teach them tithe and see God as your provider and watch what God will do. It's a universal principle of the Bible. Break the spirit of mammon through. Okay, then the second one. Now, here's the challenge, all right? So if the devil goes, ooh, I can't get them to be obsessed with money. I can't get them to be locked up and find their identity in money. They've become tithers. They've become generous. God's got their heart and he's number one. So he's like, well, if I can't get them on that extreme, I'll go the other extreme. I'll go the other extreme and make them think that not having anything will really impress God now. Going without will really impress God. And so the Bible talks about this poverty mindset. You get the idea of it in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. Have a quick look at this. Now, I had a PhD in a poverty mindset. This is my upbringing. Like, it's my experience. In 1 Timothy, if we've got that, 1 Timothy 4, 1 to 3, did we find that one? If you can grab that for me. It talks about the doctrine of demons. It says, in the last days, I know I probably didn't give it to you, so just give me a nod because I really want us to start with the scripture. 1 Timothy 4, 1 to 3. Let's turn to your neighbor and say, this is helping me. Okay, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Ooh. Okay, what's that mean? Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Just pause it there. Just go back to that one. Seared with a hot iron. What that means is if your conscience has been seared, I dropped a motorbike on my leg years ago and the muffler sat on my foot on my leg for a while and I got this scar and it got seared. And what it meant is whenever I touched it, it was extremely sensitive because it had been seared. If your conscience has been seared, that means you're extremely sensitive about things you don't need to be sensitive about. And the devil will make you think. And so once you've met God, your conscience comes alive. You start to feel bad about the things that are wrong. And that's exactly the way it should be. We start to repent and we start to change. But if we're not careful, and especially if we've had a religious upbringing, or especially if we've got a poor self-image, or especially if we've spent years in poverty, we can get this idea and we can start to feel guilty thinking it's the conviction of God about enjoying things that God intended for us to enjoy. So he goes on, next verse, as a couple of examples, forbidding to marry. So this whole idea, hey, you shouldn't get married. Sex is bad. If you enjoy yourself within a marriage, if you don't do that, somehow that will make God like you more. You'll be holier than everybody else because you're abstaining from something. That's the doctrine of demons. That's not God's intention. He created sex for you to enjoy within a marriage relationship. And everybody said, oh, finally we've come awake. This is good. All right. Forbidding to marry and coming to abstain from foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Don't eat this. Don't eat that. Don't eat this. Don't eat that. Somehow that will make you holy because you're going without stuff and you'll really impress God. That's the doctrine of demons. It's the opposite of the spirit of mammon when it applies to money. It's a poverty mindset. And somehow you think, and here's the big mark of a poverty mindset. You feel guilty about enjoying any material thing that's come your way. You feel guilty about it. Now, some of you don't have anywhere near this problem, and that's okay. You can just focus on the other. You're like, bring it on. I love it. I'm happy with it. But some people, and I know because this is my upbringing, I felt for years, I remember buying a $29.95 t-shirt from Burning Spears. No, Billabong. Back in the day, 20 years ago, and I went with Danielle, I went shopping, I went and put it on, and I started to feel guilty about wearing a new shirt that cost that much money. You go, what is that? That's a seared conscience that somehow feels that not enjoying, that I can't enjoy this stuff. And so I remember when I first got a new Hilux ute for my work, a brand new one, cost $19,990 back in the good old days. And I'm hopping in this new car. And all these thoughts are, you could have got it cheaper, you could have got it secondhand, you could have done this, and I'm feeling bad about something that I feel should feel good about. I'd stay in a hotel that was quite nice, and I'd go into this place, and I'm just like, literally, I'd feel bad, I'd feel guilty about it. It's crazy. All sorts of different things, and I have this vibe of feeling guilty. Why? Because my conscience had been seared, and I'd bought the lie that somehow I'd impress God by going without. Somehow there's a holiness in going out, and so the journey of getting set free of this other mindset. So if I'm praying, God, would you bless me? But on the inside, I'm going, no, blessing is not what God wants to do. It cancels out my prayer. And I've seen so many people restrict God because they don't. And here's the thing. If the opposite of the spirit of mammon is God is my provider. The opposite of the spirit of poverty is God is my father who wants to bless me. If I ask for snake, he won't give me. If I ask for bread, he won't give me a snake. He's a good father. He'll bless you. And so I had to study the Bible, and I'm going to close with these thoughts. I had to study what the Word of God said. And so if you're like, that's me, John, I think I've got a poverty mindset. I feel guilty. I feel guilty when I buy new clothes. I remember someone very close to me bought new clothes, but would never wear them. Not that close to me. No problems there. She would wear, it was my mum, okay? It was my mum. She would buy new clothes and they would sit in the cupboard because she couldn't wear them without feeling guilty. Poverty mindset. Friends of mine would go and buy, a friend of mine who, you know, and religion does this. This is a religious spirit. Religion. And he went and bought a brand new stereo and he went to play it at home and he couldn't. Because it was new, it was shiny, had all the bells and whistles, and he felt bad. So he took it back because he couldn't enjoy it. And a religious spirit will make you feel like that feeling is the conviction of the Holy Spirit, but it's a yuck feeling. It'll make you feel like you're impressing God, but it's not God. It's trying to restrict your life. And so I had to go on a journey. And there's certain things, mindsets that can be changed in a moment, like in a prayer, but there's other things that have been taken years to screw in, so they take years to screw out. And you've got to go on a journey and say, this is how you do it. You go on a journey, you go, well, what's the Bible actually say? Is that the truth? Or is that just some religious spirit? And so for me, I went on a journey and I started to read scriptures and I looked in the Bible and, you know, I found things like this. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. So if God's going to give me power to get wealth, then maybe it's actually okay to have wealth if he's going to give me power to get it. I read in Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scornful. He delights in the word of God. He meditates in it day and night. He'll be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season. So we're talking about a godly man. Whatever he does will prosper. Like a godly man will prosper. And if you read the Bible, you'll find over and over this theme comes through that godliness will attract prosperity. Wisdom will attract the favor of God in that way. Praise for one of my favorites was this. Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. It's Psalm 35, 27. Let them say continually, the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. So the way that I've got free from a poverty mindset over the last 20 years is I just keep speaking the word of God. God, when I prosper, you're delighted. You have, because I'm a servant and I'm focused on you. My heart, you've got my heart, okay? I've dealt with that thing. You've got my heart. I'm your servant. I want to give. I want to be generous. But you delight when I prosper. My Father wants me to prosper. He wants me to be blessed. Well, just there's so many scriptures. So speaking the word of God helps you to change your mindset and get free. There's one I want to read to you here. The Bible's full of it. 1 Timothy 6:17, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty nor to trust in uncertain riches. This is to Timothy in the church. He says, Timothy, command those who are already rich in your church. Okay, so there's rich people in church already. Okay. What, to give it all away and not be rich? No, he says to not trust in it. Make sure God's number one. Make sure God's a provider. Don't trust in it. Who gives us richly all things to enjoy. While God is my primary source of joy, he gives me things to enjoy. So for someone, that might be a boat because you love fishing and you're having this, you've got a boat and you go out and you fish and it's got all, and you love it. And when you first get it, you feel guilty about it. But you've got it and you feel the smile of God when you're enjoying it. And your seared conscience wants to make you feel guilty. But you got to just keep going, no, God delights in my prosperity. Now, it doesn't have a hold of me. If God wants me to give it away, I can give it away, but I can enjoy it. To break through a poverty mindset, you got to declare the word of God and then get used to enjoying his blessings. Some of you, that's not a problem. But there's some people in the room, I can feel it right now, that's a challenge. You can enjoy it. And if you can afford it, you can spend something on yourself with extravagance and enjoy it. And if you can't, that's a problem. I'm not talking about on credit to try and puff yourself up. I'm talking about if you can afford it and you like something and you want to enjoy it, God's into it. If your heart's in the right place. Last story. A friend of mine had this chronic poverty mentality vibe. And he went to a shop one day and he found this leather jacket that he really liked. And he went to buy it. And it was, you know, three times the price of what he'd ever pay for something. He could afford it. But three, and he put it on the rack and he walked out of the room with this feeling, that feeling of, I'm not worth it. How could I do that? That's a poverty mindset. I'm not worth it. God wouldn't be into it. And he just felt the Spirit of God quicken him to say, no, get it. And he went back in and he bought this jacket. And for him in that moment, he broke something. And he said, whenever I wore that jacket, it became a sign to me of my Father's pleasure, of my prosperity. I've found this, as I've allowed God to bless me and be able to enjoy it, my capacity for money to flow through my life has become unlimited. Otherwise, I'm limiting it by my own vibe. I can feel you grabbing this morning. Spirit of Mammon. Poverty mindset, spirit of mammon, poverty mindset. In the middle of it, God's my source. God's got my heart. I'm all about his kingdom, and I'm okay being blessed because my Father in heaven wants me to be blessed as long as my heart's in the right place. Can we close our eyes together right now? Father, I thank you this morning for your presence, for your love in this room right now. I pray, Lord, that you'd help each one of us identify what our next step in relation to this message is. Help us to get free from wrong thinking. Just help us to get free in the name of Jesus.